Lifestyle matters. It's more than money.
I'm Faisal Carmally, my co-host here, Dave Popowich. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How about you?
Good. Well, you got the giddiness going on here.
Well, that's right.
You're getting excited?
Yeah, I am.
You're getting ready?
We're good to go.
You're good to go?
We're good to go.
You're good to go.
Yeah.
Is she good to go?
Oh, Maddie's terrified.
Or is she just going to go?
Maddie's terrified, for sure.
For those of you who don't know, Dave is getting married next week. We offer from the entire Popowich Carmally Advisor Group, everybody at Chorus. Want to say congratulations on your day.
Yeah, thanks, man. It's going to be looking forward to it. Lots of families in town now. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it'll be a great time. I'm looking forward for the free alcohol. So good.
It's an open bar except for Faisal and Andrew.
Damn, no one told me that one.
We got a pretty good show today. We're going to talk a little bit about how much you're doing for your adult children financially. This is something that we get a lot of questions about from our client base. And so we know not just empirically, but anecdotally, right? Helping support your kids is becoming a bigger part of your retirement planning.
Yeah. And then what happens to your economy in the next big recession? The CD Howe Institute is arguing that Canadians need to know
what the plan is.
Yeah. And we'll be chatting with them to find out what it might look like and why it's so important to be prepared.
Okay, so let's leapfrog off that for a little bit because it was an interesting week in the markets today. I mean, Monday we had markets closed.
In Canada,
sorry. It was a long weekend for us, but not in the United States, right? And if you were paying attention on Monday, certainly you heard about it on Tuesday, the Dow went crazy, right? The markets went crazy.
Yep.
A ton of volatility, and we really had a lot of volatility all week as the markets were trying to figure out what's going on. But let's talk a little bit about what sort of drove that uncertainty and the volatility, because I don't think that's necessarily going to go away. We're going to have these bouts of sharp volatility because the reasons for them, I think, are going to be persistent with us for a while. Let's start with the Fed for just a minute.
Okay.
I want your thoughts on this. I think that the Fed's language has been kind of sloppy in a couple of instances, and I'll take you back to fourth quarter of last year. So the market fall initially, what precipitated the market fall in the fourth quarter was some sloppy language around the Fed guiding towards aggressive rate hikes this year. Okay, and we get that fall, and then we had a recovery as they cleaned their language up. Well, we were expecting some language from the Fed that was a little bit more dovish, a little bit more
accommodative.
Accommodative, right?
Yeah.
From a monetary policy perspective, and didn't get that, right? Powell again didn't really deliver what the market was expecting in terms of the language, perhaps in the rate cut that he did. But then you saw a bunch of volatility again.
Correct.
Add to that sort of the complexity of the evolving relationship between China and the United States, and there has been some developments there which I think are interesting, and you get this environment of uncertainty, right?
Correct.
And markets are responding to that uncertainty.
Yep.
Your thoughts around sort of the evolution, what we saw with respect to the Chinese response to what the pressure that President Trump is putting on them from a trade perspective.
Well, there was a very interesting move with them changing around with their currency over the week. What we have to remember is that the President of the United States and the Chinese government have two different time objectives.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
One has an objective to the next election in the United States, and the next election in China is, never, so they don't have to worry about that kind of stuff.
It's true.
And so they're in two different game plans. It's like when you're dealing with somebody who has time pressure of getting something done in an hour, and you have all year.
Right.
How do you have that conversation? And so what the market has done has turned individual investors, more so than institutional or large money investors, they've taken individual investors and had them bet or invest on hope.
Right.
They hope there's a trade deal. And if you watched every single headline or every tweet that came out from President Trump, that whenever there was a pro-trade or things are going to get better, or there's movement towards some sort of meeting, the market went up.
Yep.
Every time he mentioned anything negative,
right,
or the markets or even China did something negative, even playing with the currency by 1/100th of a cent,
right,
caused the markets to gyrate. So they're hoping for some sort of solution, which is very challenging as an individual investor. How do you deal with that kind of stuff?
Yeah, and I think you hit on something really interesting, the timelines and the long-term thinking. I mean, President Trump's got, let's call it a year, a little bit more than that, and President Xi's got, lifetime. But the currency thing was interesting because it's showing an evolution in the Chinese response to this, right? So there's a psychological barrier, or certainly was, for every 7 yuan to the US dollar, and it fell below that. The Chinese currency fell below that. Now, what that triggered was concern in amongst investors that the Chinese may use their currency or weaponize their currency and allow it to devalue. So if you put a 25% tariff on China mm-hmm. and their currency devalues by 25%, yeah. I'm not saying it's going to, but the point is you can
or
offset
some
that.
Number that will neutralize
right.
that effect.
Right. Yeah. And so markets got concerned. Maybe we're not just in a trade war. Maybe it's a currency war too. Maybe it's a technology war. Add that.
Why don't we just say it's an economic war?
Yeah.
We've been talking about this now for a very long time.
Right.
We are no longer in the old Cold War situation.
Right.
We are now in an economic Cold War.
Right.
And back in the Cold War days when there was military, you built a nuclear weapon, I'll build a nuclear weapon.
Right.
You build this kind of arsenal, I'll build an arsenal.
Right.
And so we're just competing, but we're not fighting.
Right.
That's the same thing that's happening right now from an economic perspective.
Yep.
You put tariffs, I'll change my currency. I'll put tariffs to another country, they'll put tariffs on you.
Yeah.
Like it's just a cold war economically.
Yeah, and I think that people need to, and we'll talk about this maybe at the end of the show, in
sure.
the last segment, because what do you do about that? That
yeah.
raises that question, right? And there are things that you can do and how to respond to this, because emotionally it can be challenging, but we'll save that for the end of it, because I think this week is a bit of a shot across the bow. And I think people need to understand there's a bunch of levers. Like we talk about this all the time. There's a whole bunch of levers, and then there's a whole bunch of unintended consequences of those levers. And so there's no crystal ball that you're working with, right? But you've got to have some base case assumptions around what's really happening here. And so I think we accept that there's an economic war taking place.
Yep.
We probably are in that economic war until the election. I don't think it gets easier before the election. I think President Trump's made it clear that that's part of his mandate,
yep.
right? He wants I'm tough on China policy, and he'll continue with that rhetoric.
Now, this show deals with a lot of people who are transitioning to or living in retirement.
Right.
Everything we just talked about heightens the sensitivity when someone is transitioning to or living in retirement.
That's an excellent point.
You ask anybody who was retiring in 2008 in the fall.
Right.
And had a different mindset of what the markets, what the world looked like
right.
from 2007 to the fall of 2008.
Yep.
And then a big crash. I'm not saying we're going to have a big crash. What I am saying is the sensitivity of what could happen to your retirement, to your financial picture of your future is highly important at this point in time.
Right.
So we were going to wave the flag saying warning. I think at the last segment of the show, we should talk about what should people do as they prepare for retirement in this type of economic environment.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And it's interesting. So, what does all this mean? If we're talking about an escalation in the economic war or a worsening in the trade relationship.
Yep.
I was reporting on Friday a poll. So there's polls that are done regularly amongst economists, and
yep.
Bloomberg does them and Reuters does them. So there was a Reuters poll that was done on August 6th to 8th, and they were asking, amongst other things, the question about the probability of recession in the United States over the next 2 years.
Yeah.
It's a consistent question that they ask. And I can tell you that we're talking about the risks of increased consensus amongst that group is that the probability of a U.S. recession over the next 2 years has increased from 35% to 45%.
Correct.
Right? So, again, to your point, it's not a red flag at this particular point, but directionally, we're moving closer to...
By survey. You know when we find out that the recession is actually going to happen?
By data.
When it's there.
Yeah, that's right.
You don't know when the recession happens until right. you're in the recession. Because right. the definition of recession is two negative quarters of gross domestic product back to back.
Back to back, that's right.
And so you only find out you're in a recession 6 months after it's already started.
Right. But I think it's fair to say you're starting to see some of the uncertainty created by the trade environment.
Correct.
Not just with China and the U.S., but there's a bunch of issues going on. Japan and Korea and Canada and China. And I mean, it's all over the place. So the uncertainty of that is starting to play a role.
And right? so as you transition to retirement or you're living in retirement, and knowing that we are on our way to a recession.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know the exact date,
right?
But we're on our way there. How do you prepare for that?
Yeah,
that's going to be interesting to see.
So let's talk about that. I mean, ultimately, we're going to have every month we have an educational session and we talk about bulletproofing your retirement because you're going to live through these things, right? If you've got a nice, long, healthy retirement, right, this is not the first or the last recession that you're going to see as you move through that.
Correct. And so we're going to talk about recession. We're going to talk about structuring your investments, or we're going to talk about how you actually bulletproof your retirement on Tuesday, August 20th, 7 p.m. at the Carriage House Inn. Now, you need to reserve your seats. So give us a call at 966-8400. That's 966-8400. Or you can register online at morethanmoneyradio.com.
All right. Stick around because we'll be chatting about how many people's retirements are being changed because they're helping their adult children on necessities.
Yeah.
Right? Not just frivolous, but on necessities. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.